Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of the show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here with vital insights from God's word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, the fastest half hour in radio where we learn to discern the signs of the times. We learn to share and defend our faith, apologetics. We learn to confront the culture of death and darkness with the love and light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, we started a series, just a two-part series. This is part two of that, called The Horrors of Heroin. And I shared with you that there is an epidemic of heroin use, and many people are dying of heroin all around us. In fact, there are all kinds of folks in heroin that you're running into that you don't even know they're on heroin. A lot of times you'll find out that the gal or the guy down the street was a heroin addict, didn't even know it, and then died because of respiratory arrest or what have you. And this has become part of public consciousness more of late because the Philip Seymour Hoffman, the actor, Oscar-winning actor, he pronounced dead recently at Super Bowl Sunday. He basically was found with a syringe sticking out of his arm. And we talked about this last week, and I talked about how, you know, the New York Times had said he was perhaps the greatest actor of his generation. But I also shared with you in part one of this message how the chief of police in Simi Valley, where I live, by the way, Simi Valley was, you know, brought to national notoriety because of the heroin epidemic here in Simi Valley. And you look at Simi Valley, middle class, city, and you would think there's not much of a drug problem. It's mostly houses and what have you, but it is one of the greatest places of heroin use in the nation. And many young people have died each year. And Dr. Phil even did a show on heroin use in Simi Valley. And it was interesting because I shared with you, if you were at that show last week, you weren't, I was sharing that the chief of police of Simi Valley got pastors together and pleaded with them with tears in his eyes. I saw him crying, saying, please help us. So many of these kids are we lock them up and we let them out because they're stealing from cars and homes and family and what have you to supplement, so they can get the heroin. And I mentioned that he was pleading with us because he said it's like a revolving door. We lock them up and they're let back out. And you guys are about changing the heart. And I knew what he was saying because we share Jesus and Jesus shares the heart. The most important thing we can actually do is turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And there's no more question, there's no more important question in your life than as to where you'll spend eternity. When it's all said and done, that'll be the most important thing. Whether you're in heaven or in hell, you'll realize, wow, getting right with Jesus was the most important thing, or should have been the most important thing in my life. But right now, we have all these young people dying of heroin addiction all over the place. And you know, I was into drugs when I was a young person, and I lost a couple friends as a teenager, a couple of my closer friends to drug and alcohol abuse. And by the grace of God, when I hit 18, right around that time, I came to a personal knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a relationship with him, and he delivered me from alcohol abuse and from drug abuse and what have you. But at that time, my friends and I, and we consider ourselves, you know, druggies, stoners, we call ourselves. I live in a track called the Stoner's Track. Most of us knew to stay away from heroin, though. Incredibly, today, young people that are partying like I was then are doing heroin. And I lost friends to drugs outside of heroin. Heroin just claims more lives than most other drugs. And it's interesting because this man, Hoffman, you know, he was found with 49 bags of heroin, full of heroin, in his apartment still. And people don't realize that we're dealing with a problem here that is spiritual. The Bible says there's a spiritual war. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Satan is the ruler of the darkness of this world and the demonic hordes, including the drug cartels and all that's taking place there. In fact, Satan uses illicit drugs as his form of chemical warfare. I like to call Satan's propagation of illicit drug uses as his chemical warfare, because he uses these drugs to poison souls, to turn people away from Christ. Why do you think the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 8, 9, be alert and of sober mind? Okay, that would go for any of you who are calling yourselves Christians who also like to get drunk. The Bible says drunkards won't inherit God's kingdom. Well, the Bible says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Now, folks, you know, if you're a lion, and lions, by the way, don't always catch their prey. I like to hunt once in a while, and I was hunting up in Oregon one time, and we had our sight finder out as far as distance and our binoculars and what have you, and we're looking at these deer coming down. We're actually hunting for elk and deer, and also with our bows, you know, we're bow hunting, and all of a sudden, I see this mountain lion. The deer are headed right toward us. We're in this, you know, waiting for them on the ambush, and right behind the deer, spoiled our hunt, I thought, and kind of worked out for us in the end. This lion's coming down, stalking these deer, a couple bucks and a doe. And that lion didn't get too close before they sensed the lion and took off. Didn't get very close at all. It gave me appreciation when you're watching those clips of lions, you know, hunting. You know what? You're usually seeing when they get something. Often they don't get anywhere close. You don't realize how hard it is for them. But guess what? If a lion could get its prey drunk, get it to drink from a water hole that's filled with alcohol, where it's like, you know, totally inebriated and unaware of the lion's presence and it's stumbling, that's an easy catch for lion folks. And that's how Satan works with alcohol and drug abuse. He tries to get us to, through chemical warfare, to open up to, you know, a state of inebriation. Therefore, it's very easy for him to deceive us. That's why the Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, but filled with the Holy Spirit. But it says, don't be drunk with wine, which is lasciviousness, or debauchery, depending on the translation. It basically means looseness. That's because when you're on drugs, you know, even drunk on alcohol, you'll say things you would never say, you'll do things you would never do, because it's a lot easier for Satan to cause us to fall and to destroy ourselves. And that's why he loves to use alcohol, he loves to use drugs to get us drunk or inebriated so he could destroy our souls. And that's why the Bible says to be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Satan doesn't want you to be sober-minded, and he'll do whatever he can to get your mind off track of spiritual things and following the Lord. The last thing you're doing when you're drunk, if you're getting drunk, is wanting to read your Bible. Okay, folks, because God hates these things because they tear people from truth and from righteousness. In fact, it's interesting. One of the ways that God reveals the existence of himself, that he is real and who he says he is he says, I tell you the end from the beginning. He knows history. History is written in advance through his word. The whole plan of Israel ceasing to be a nation, becoming a nation again, hostile nations around Israel wanted to destroy Israel, that's all in the Bible. Well, God also prophesied that drug use would be widespread in the end times, just as it is. In fact, the book of Revelation uses a family of Greek words like pharmakous and pharmakeia, various cognates that are connected and connect the drug world to the world of the occult and show that these both would be prevalent in the end times. While we derive our English word pharmacy and pharmaceuticals from the Greek word pharmakeia, the word that's used in the book of Revelation has an interesting connotation. Its connotation has to do with illicit drugs and demonic hallucinations or visions inspired by demonic entities. It has to do with drugs that would open you up to the demonic or spiritual world. In fact, those who practiced pharmakeia, who sold it, who dealt in it, were called poisoners, druggists, or givers of potions. In fact, it's interesting, the Hebrew word, kesep, the root word, I should say, for witchcraft in the Old Testament, used in Micah 5:12 and Malachi 3:5, means to cut. And it's interesting because many scholars believe that the word to cut, that root word for witchcraft, had to do with witches or sorcerers who would cut up various drugs into a witch's brew to open people up to the dark powers, the powers of darkness. Now, isn't that interesting? Witches, you know, you see the witches and the broom and what have you. They didn't ride brooms. We know that. But guess what? through cutting up different herbs and different drugs and hallucinogens and things that were forbidden in Scripture, they would open themselves up or open others up to these demonic powers that could give them the sense of of leaving their body or flying through the air, out-of-body experiences, what have you, the sense or false visions thereof. And in fact, in Harry Potter, the popular series on witchcraft and wizardry, which glorifies witchcraft and wizardry, and by the way, I want to encourage people to think about that, witchcraft, wizardry, condemned in the Bible as an abomination. You say, well, it's just pretend witchcraft and wizardry. Well, homosexuality and bestiality are condemned as abominations in the same vice list as witchcraft. Now, what if you just write a novel glorifying homosexuality, but it's just pretend? It's still an abomination to God, and God doesn't want us glorifying the things that he says that are evil and damn souls. But it's interesting, the Harry Potter series, Professor Snape, who taught potions at the School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, speaks of, quote, the beauty of the softly simmering cauldron with its shimmering fumes and delicate power of liquids that creep through human veins, bewitching the mind and staring the senses, end quote. See, that's what pharmakeia does. That's what drugs do. They ensnare the mind. They open you up. They get you out of a sense of sobriety and cognitive thinking to where you open yourself up to demonic forces. I remember as a young person when I would smoke pot, or especially when I did acid before I was a Christian, I opened myself up to all kinds of demonic forces. Even on pot, I had all kinds of dark thoughts that were not my own that I didn't have when I wasn't smoking pot. When I became a Christian and the lights went on, I opened up God's word. I realized, wow, God warns about this. In fact, you know what? Those who cook up meth, those who make, you know, put heroin together, they're called cooks. That's modern witches. That's what the witches were in the past. They would take these drugs and feed them to people, illicit drugs, open themselves up to demons. Well, they're called cooks today. It's modern witchcraft. It's modern sorcery that Satan uses. In fact, the scriptures tell us over and over again that Satan will use these drugs in the end times. He's the ruler, as I said, of the darkness of this world, the scriptures say. In fact, the book of Revelation declares this, and I quote from Revelation 18, then a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all nations were deceived by your sorcery. The Greek word, pharmakeia. Pharmakeia. So it's talking about a commercial empire in the end, spiritually, mysteriously, it says, called Babylon. A lot of people believe that's the United States of America, which is dealing in pharmakeia, sorcery. And God declares that he brings his judgments on the earth in his word that the nations might learn righteousness. So he brings his judgments on the planet. And one of the reasons is because the commercial center of the world is dealing in pharmakeia, illicit drug use, poisoning people with drugs. In fact, in Revelation chapter 9, verse 21, it says that God's judgments come because people refuse to repent. But listen to what it says they refuse to repent of. Chapter 9, verse 21, and they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, the Greek word pharmakeia, nor of their immorality, sexual sin, or their thefts. Now, it's interesting, you shouldn't miss that thefts and sexual sin are put right along there with pharmakeia, drug abuse. Isn't it interesting that when you look at the drug cartels, you look at drug abuse, often what do you see associated with it? Sexual promiscuity, sexual sin, theft, all these murders in that list, by the way, as well, if I would have continued reading, idolatry, you know. So what's interesting is that the scriptures go on in Revelation to reference this at least four times. God makes it clear in the book of Revelation that those who refuse to turn from illicit drug use and their life of rebellion against God, that they'll be excluded from the heavenly city and thrown into the lake of fire. That's scary, folks. Listen to what God himself says, reveals to us in Revelation 22, 14, and 15. Blessed are those who wash their robes. You can only wash your robes in the blood of Jesus who died for our sins and be cleansed to get into the kingdom. It says, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers, Greek word, pharmakous, and the immoral persons, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying, Revelation 21:8. But for the cowardly, and unbelieving, and abominable, and murderers, and immoral persons, and sorcerers, Greek word, pharmakous, and idolaters, and all liars, a lot of, you know, those involved in drugs are typically, very often, liars. Their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, end quote. That is really heartbreaking, folks. I'm not just concerned about people that are bound by illicit drug use and addicted to heroin and methamphetamines and potheads and everything else. Right now, I'm concerned for their eternity. I'm concerned about their minds and their bodies now and their well-being right now. It's so heartbreaking. But I'm concerned about their eternal souls. And praise God, we have the answer to heroin, methamphetamine, drug addiction, alcohol abuse. And we'll deal with that on the other half of the break. Thankfully, the break's just 30 seconds. We'll see you back in just 30 seconds.
You're listening to The Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. If you'd like to learn more about our life-changing resources, such as They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll and The Submerging Church, check out our website at goodfightradio.org.
Hello, folks. This is part two of our little mini-series on dealing with the horrors of heroin. The answer is found in the Lord Jesus Christ to every such addiction, to all sin. In fact, I don't care what you're involved in. You might say, hey, I'm not involved in heroin. In fact, I don't have any drug abuse. And, I'm fine. I don't need Jesus. You know what? Everybody needs Jesus. So find that victory in Jesus. And if you're struggling with heroin addiction, if you're struggling with methamphetamine addiction, or just you're a pothead, or you're a drunkard, the answer is always the same. Jesus Christ. Fall on your face before God and say, God, have mercy on me. Since if you sincerely pray that and sincerely seek his face, you repent, you turn from sin, and you embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he'll give you the power. You might say, well, I feel powerless. I don't feel like I got the power to overcome this. Well, you don't have the power in of yourself. You don't have the power to overcome all sin in of yourself. But Jesus Christ does have the power. And he knocks on your heart. If you cry out to him, says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, he shall deliver. He shall save. He'll save you from the power and the presence and the practice and the penalty of sin if you give your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we have a problem. And there was a movie that came out some time ago, a British film called 28 Days Later. And this British film was basically a horror film. I didn't see it, but I read about it. And it was basically about how people are bitten and they get this disease called rage. And everybody's infected and very few people are surviving. And rage spreads throughout the populace and you basically have societal collapse. And well, what a picture that is of sin. An original sin and how sin is spread throughout the human race and people have rage. They're just filled with sin. And it's interesting, Michael Richards, he's a popular actor. He was Cosmo Kramer on the television show Seinfeld. He was infected with rage. Well, the same kind of spiritual rage that everybody has one way or another. And he was at the Laugh Factory because he's also a comedian there at West Hollywood. And he was being heckled and he began to just go on this maniacal, really sick tirade, again, a racist tirade, calling people the N-word, black folks the N-word, referring to a lynching. Tirade also include derogatory antagonistic statements against Hispanic people. He went on the David Letterman show a bit later and he said this, quote, you know, I'm really busted up over this and I'm very, very sorry to those people in the audience, the blacks, the Hispanics, whites, everyone that was there that took the brunt of the anger and hate and rage and how it came through. And I'm concerned about the more hate and the more rage and more anger coming through, not just towards me, but towards a black-white conflict. And that's interesting, folks, because I don't know if this guy does any drugs, but that's just a human heart. The human heart is sinful. The problem is not someone's skin color. The problem is not skin. The problem's sin. And it affects all skin colors. It affects everybody because it has to do with the heart, not the color of our skin. And the answer isn't one race or the other. The answer is grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we only find victory through him. In fact, we're dealing with pharmakous, pharmakeia, those words that are used in the book of Revelation and how the end times be filled with people that are promoting and using illicit drugs and drug dealers and what have you. I thought it was interesting because I did a search of several different Bible translations and a couple translations had, instead of drugs, or I should say instead of witchcraft, magic, sorcery, they had dopings, drug peddling. That's such interesting because biblical scholars, translators, they don't know exactly how to translate that word because in biblical times it had the connotation of illicit drug use, but also opening people up to the demonic world. And that word was impregnated with meaning that we don't really grasp today. But if we open our eyes spiritually, we see that Satan is using drugs as doorways, portals that he's opening up in the heart and the mind to demonic entities. We'd start to realize the bigger picture that we're battling with all around us. And that's what the Good Fight Radio Show is about. We want to give people perspective spiritually to the real battle that's going on. It's spiritual. And the real answer is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, God's word says, don't be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery or excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And Satan wants to bring a counterfeit spirit. That's why if you go to the bar, they serve spirits. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's alcohol, brings alcohol abuse, which opens you to the wrong spirit. Jesus Christ, when he went to Samaria, which many of the Jews would not travel through Samaria, he made it a point to go to a well. And there was a woman that was there at noon. I mean, that's the heat of the day. That's not when women would go to the well. And women would travel together at the well. But she was alone. Why? She went in the heat of the day because she was not a very, respected woman. In fact, Jesus said to her, it blew her away. He said to her that you've been married 5 times and the man you're living with right now is not your husband. And she was blown away because this is this outsider that just comes by the well and tells her all about her life. And she said, I perceive you're a prophet. Well, that was a good guess. He's a prophet for sure. He's also the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus proceeded to tell her that if she would ask him, he would give her water that would cause her to be so satisfied that she'd never thirst again. He was speaking of the spiritual water. See, physical water is a picture of the spiritual water. Physical water satisfies our bodies like no other liquid. A good glass of cold water after a run or hike for me is so amazing. But guess what? Spiritually, it's only the Holy Spirit who satisfies our souls. And Jesus said in John 7:37-39, now on that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow the rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Folks, Jesus Christ gives us the water of life. He satisfies our souls. If we don't seek satisfaction in him, we're going to be empty. We're using counterfeits like heroin, like alcohol abuse, like filthy entertainment, like the fleshly things of this world that are not good for us, that actually destroy our souls. Folks, the scripture ends with the last chapter, Revelation chapter 22, says the Spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit, and the bride, that's the church, say come. Let him that hears say come, and let whoever will come and take the water of life freely or without cost. Folks, God calls you to partake of the water of life. That water of life only comes through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was on the cross, dying for our sins, he spread out his arms in love for us. He was nailed to the cross. When they stuck a javelin through him, water and blood came out of his side. That water brings, that's a picture of the Spirit that he gives that comes from him and proceeds to us. When he rose again, he said to his disciples, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. We lost the Holy Spirit. Humanity lost the Holy Spirit when humanity transgressed and turned away from God. Jesus Christ died for our sins, paid for them, conquered death, and now he's ready to fill your heart with his love, fill your heart with his Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, love and peace and joy, those things that you'll never find in drugs because these drugs are lies, but the answer is in Jesus Christ. And I encourage you right now, he's just waiting for you to cry out to him, turn to him and say, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again, and embrace him as your Lord and Savior, and he'll fill you with his Spirit. You'll overcome the desire for drugs. It may not be immediate for you as it was for me, but as you continue to seek Jesus and continue to get filled up with his Spirit, you'll get greater and greater victory. And I just praise God, and my heart's prayer is that you have victory through Jesus and that many people be delivered from drug abuse through this program. I want to thank you again for being part of the Good Fight Radio Show, yet another edition, and we just encourage you to press on. Make sure you find a Bible-based church which is serious about the Word of God. Test everything that's taught by the Word. Meet other believers that love Jesus and grow in the Lord. I want to encourage you to press on to know the Lord and make him known. May the Lord bless you richly as you continue to seek his face. God bless you.
You've been listening to pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.
All our lives, it comes down to just one thing.